这里哈摘呀狗比真那巴拉巴给你巴拉这里摘呀比真那巴拉巴给你巴拉巴摘呀狗比真那巴拉巴给你巴拉巴里摘呀比真那巴拉巴给你巴拉巴Show Ran London, the Prajaja Naranjana Chamuna Tira Vanachari Tira.Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Rata Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Rata Madhava KunjabiJayu Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayu Radha Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Gopi Janna Balaba Girivara Dari Jaya Gopi Janna Balaba Girivara Dari Jaya GopiJanna Balava Girivara Dari Jaya Pijanna Balava Girivara Dari Jishodanandana Praja Janna Ranjana Shodanandana Praja Janna Ranjana Jishodanandana Praja Janna Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jayu Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayu Radha MadhavaJai Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dari Jai Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dari Jai Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dari Jishodanandana Praja Janna Ranjana Shodanandana Praja Janna Ranjana Jishodanandana Praja Janna Ranjana Shodanandana Praja Janna Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira JamunaTira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jayu Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Jayu Radha Madhava Kunjabi
Shrila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're given a challenge this morning. We have 20 verses to cover, and not so fairly minimal purports. So we'll have fun with it, and we'll do the best we can. So I'm going to read the... which verse do we have up on the board? Text number? 46. Oh. But which is the verse? Okay. Okay. 46. Okay. Yeah. 38. Oh, okay. 38. Okay. All right. So we'll... Let's see if we got that down here. 38. Okay. Well, let's just read through them. So text 26. The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka and Charna Loka then took the opportunity to play their musical instruments, such as conch shells, bugles, and drums. They began dancing and singing along with their wives. So all the excitement is the fact that the goddess of fortune has now taken up residence at the bosom of Supreme Lord, and she's giving various benedictions. Text number 27. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the great sage Angira, and similar directors of universal management showered flowers and chanted mantras indicating the transcendental glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the demigods, along with the Prajapatis and their descendants, being blessed by Lakshmi's glance upon them, were immediately enriched with good behavior and transcendental qualities. Thus, they were very much satisfied. O King, because of being neglected by the goddess of fortune, the demons and Rakshasas were depressed, bewildered, and frustrated, and thus they became shameless. Next appeared Varuni, the lotus-eyed goddess who controls drunkards. With the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the demons, headed by Bali Maharaj, took possession of this young girl. Remember now, Bali Maharaj, though he was... the king of the demons, he was a great exalted personality. He's one of the 12 Mahajans. Svayambhur Naradakshambhu Komalam Kapilo Manu Palado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasakir Vayam. So I guess she's in pretty good shape. O king, thereafter, while the sons of Kashyapa, both demons and demigods, were engaged in churning the ocean of milk, a very wonderful male person appeared. He was strongly built. His arms were long, stout, strong. His neck, which was marked with three lines, resembled a conch shell. His eyes were reddish. His complexion was blackish. He was very young. He was garlanded with flowers, and his entire body was fully decorated with various ornaments. He was dressed in yellow garments and wore brightly polished earrings made of pearls. The tips of his hair were anointed with oil, and his chest was very broad. His body had all good features. He was stout and strong like a lion, and he was decorated with bangles. In his hand, he carried a jug filled to the top with nectar. This person was Dhanvantari, a plenary portion of a plenary portion of Lord Vishnu. By the way, plenary means partial. He was very conversant in the science of medicine, and as one of the demigods, he was permitted to take a share in sacrifices. Now we have a little purport where Prabhupada is quoting Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya says, Dhanvantari, who was carrying the jug containing nectar, was a plenary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although he was very strong, the asuras were able to take the jug of nectar from his hands. Text number 35. Upon seeing Dhanvantari carrying the jug of nectar, the demons, desiring the jug and its contents, immediately snatched it away by force. Text 36. When the jug of nectar was carried off by the demons, the demigods were morose. Thus they sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Text number 37. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always desires to fulfill the ambition of his devotees, saw that the demigods were morose, he said to them, "Do not be aggrieved. By my own energy, I shall bewilder the demons by creating a quarrel among them, and in this way, I shall fulfill your desire to have the nectar." Text number 38. O king, a quarrel then arose among the demons over who would get the nectar first. Each of them said, "You cannot drink first. I must drink it first. Me first, not you." Text number 39 through 40. Some of the demons said, "All the demigods have taken part in the churning of the ocean of milk. Now, as everyone has an equal right to partake in any public sacrifice, according to eternal religious principles, it is befitting that the demigods now have a share of the nectar. O king, in this way, the weaker demons forbade the stronger demons to take the nectar." And the final six texts are all together. This is 41 through 46. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who can counteract any unfavorable situation, then assumed the form of an extremely beautiful woman. This incarnation as a woman, Mohini Murti, was most pleasing to the mind. Her complexion resembled in color a newly grown blackish lotus, and every part of her body was beautifully situated. Her ears were equally decorated with earrings. Her cheeks were very beautiful. Her nose was raised, and her face full of youthful luster. Her large breasts made her waist seem very thin. Attracted by the aroma of her face and body, bumblebees hummed about her, and thus her eyes were restless. Her hair, which was extremely beautiful, was garlanded with mallika flowers. Her attractively constructed neck was decorated with a necklace and other ornaments. Her arms were decorated with bangles, her body was covered with a clean sari, and her breast seemed like islands in an ocean of beauty. Her legs were decorated with ankle bells. Because of the movements of her eyebrows, as she smiled with shyness and glanced over the demons, all the demons were saturated with lusty desires, and every one of them desired to possess her. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 18th canto, chapter 8 of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Churning of the Milk Ocean. Umagyana timirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshur unmeritam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam pangun langayate grim yakripa tamaham bande shri gurundina taranam vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So at this juncture, we're now going from one chapter to another, and we just had a ton of verses here. Might be nice to take a moment and contemplate why are we all here in the Srimad Bhagavatam class? I know it wasn't that long ago there was a very senior devotee who hardly ever came to Bhagavatam class. Actually, pretty much, I never saw them in Bhagavatam class. So I asked a senior devotee, how come you never go to Bhagavatam class? And the answer was, well, I already know the philosophy. So, why do we come to Bhagavatam class? Is it to learn the philosophy? Well, yes. But is that the primary reason we come? Because the philosophy is very simple. In the Bhagavad Gita, I mean, if we just know who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, in the Gita, Krishna says, Yomam evam asamudho jnanati purushottama sa sarvavid bhajate mam sarvabhavena bharata. Krishna says, one who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, asamudho, very convinced, undoubting, engages in my devotional service, Krishna says, sarvavid. This person knows everything. That's all we have to know. Krishna is God. I'm his servant. Engaged in servant. Really, what more is there ultimately to know? Of course, it's nice to have fun with a philosophy. But really, why do we come to Bhagavatam class? Well, there's so many verses. Nasta praisa badreshu nicham bhagavata sevaya bhaktam shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and rendering service under the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart becomes reduced practically to nil. And loving service under the Lord becomes established. We come here to drink nectar. We come here to fill our ears with spiritual sound vibration, which purifies our hearts and gives us the greatest joy. In the second canto, there's a very lovely verse. Pibantiye bhagnava atmasatang katamritam shravana puteshu sambritam punanti te vishya vadushitashayam frajanti chachcharana sarorahantikam. This is describing, pibanti means to drink. Pibanti bhaktam atma satam. Satam is the devotees. Devotees come to drink. Katamritim shravana puteshu sambritam. So this nectar, this transcendental sound, that puteshu sambritam, to fill, puteshu means the holes of the ears, and sambritam means completely. To fill our ears with the nectar of spiritual sound vibration. And the result is punanti. Punanti, which means become purified. Punanti te vishya vadushitashayam. We become purified from all our misunderstood, for all material aims of life. We become purified of all that. And vridanti chachchana sarorahantikam. Then we go back to home, back to Godhead. Actually, commenting on this verse, Srila Jiva Goswami says, this verse is the last verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, we know that, technically, it's not the last verse, but it is, if we can understand this verse, we've got it all. Yeah? Fill our ears with spiritual sound and become completely purified. There's another beautiful verse by Kapila Dev where he says, Satang prasangang mamavirya sambhido bhavanti hritkarana rasayana kata taj joshad ashpapavargavart vanishradha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. Devotees come together. Satang prasanga. Sangha means association, and prasanga means the best association. Devotees seek that best association. Satang prasangang mamavirya sambhido. Because when devotees come together, we discuss the very powerful, enlightening pastimes of Krishna. Bhavanti hritkarana rasayana kata. Then this transcendental sound, hritkarana, from the ear, karana, hrit, it goes into the heart. And touch joshan ashvapavargavartmani, by such cultivation, apavargavartmani, the path of liberation becomes opened. And here's the important part. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. So, shraddha. Shraddha is faith. The first thing we get when we come together and hear this spiritual sound is faith. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. Anu means to follow. Kramishati in this order. So we get faith, we get taste, and we get bhakti. And how important is faith? Faith is what will sustain us from the beginning of spiritual life. There's that verse, Adho Shada Tata Sadhu Sangana Bhajanikra Tato Anartana Vrittishya. This verse is describing Shraddha to praying. That we begin with faith. And just like Rupa Goswami, he talks about Utsahan Nishchaya Daira, enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. Well, confidence is the same as faith. If we think about it, we're on a path, we're on a long, critically important path, we're going back to Godhead. In one sense, it's not an easy mission, but it is very doable. Now, if we don't have faith, if we don't have faith that there really is Vrindavan, there really is a spiritual world, we don't really have faith that we're actually going to be able to achieve it, then how will we be able to remain enthusiastic? And how will we have patience? Faith is actually the most critical. Having that strong faith, Jai Radhamanava. That strong faith is what sustains us on the spiritual path. We have one purport that when they originally asked me to give the class, they were saying this is the purport they wanted me to speak on. So I'm going to read that purport. O king, a quarrel then arose among the demons over who would get the nectar first. Each of them said, you cannot drink it first, I must drink it first. Me first, not you. So let's read the purport. This is the symptom of demons. The first concern of a non-devotee is how to enjoy his personal sense gratification at once, whereas the devotee's first concern is to satisfy the Lord. This is a distinction between the non-devotee and the devotee. In this material world, since most people are non-devotees, they regularly fight, compete, disagree, and war among themselves. For everyone wants to enjoy and satisfy his own senses. Therefore, unless such demons become Krishna conscious and are trained to satisfy the sense of the Lord, There is no question of peace in human society or any other society, even that of the demigods. The demigods and the devotees, however, always surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus the Lord is always anxious to satisfy their ambitions. Thus the demons fight to satisfy their senses, devotees engage in devotional service to satisfy the senses of the Lord. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be alert in this regard. Then the preaching of this Krishna consciousness movement will be successful. So when I read this purport, I was trying to decide which way to take this or what sort of jumped out at me. And what I'm sort of getting from this purport is that Prabhupada really wants us to come at least to the Madhyam platform where we are making distinctions. You see, the Kanishtha Adhikari, even though he may have Harinam, initiation, he sees the deity, he recognizes there's a deity, and then there's everybody else. But the Madhyam Adhikari, he distinguishing there's the deity, there's the devotees, and by the way, amongst your devotees, there are many different stripes or gradations of devotees. And even amongst demons, there's many different categories of those in the demoniac sector. Some are more innocent, some are just hardcore atheistic demons that hate Krishna to the end. And we have to be able to make these distinctions in order to properly preach. Rupa Goswami teaches us the verse, Krishneti jasya giritang manasendriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibish chabadansham isham shushushayabhajana vigyamananya anya nindari shunyam hridab ipsita sangalabhya. So Rupa Goswami is advising us to make these distinctions. Krishneti jasya giritang manasendriyeta. Manasendriyeta, in our mind, we offer respect to anyone who can get out of their mouth Krishna. Just like Devahuti, she says that famous verse, Aho Bhattasvapachto Griyan Vajjivagre Vartate Namatubyam Te Pus Tapaste Juhuvar Arnam Brahmano Chunami Granantiyete. Devahuti saying that how glorious that someone, even born in the family of dog eaters, if they just say the holy name comes out of their mouth, then they must have in previous lives, performed so many sacrifices, bathed in holy places, and studied so many scriptures. So we appreciate anyone that vibrates the name of Krishna. Now, dikshasti chek panabhishchapajantam isham, those that are very serious about spiritual life and are practicing, dikshasti chek, those who are very much sincerely engaged, we offer our obeisances. But then shushushayabhajana vigyamananya anya nindari shunyapritsitasangyalabhya, those exalted devotees who are completely free from the desire to criticize others, we fall at their feet, we crave their association, and we serve them. Now, when it's saying one who's freed from the desire to criticize others, if you think about it, it doesn't mean that they're just not criticizing. In other words, if I'll speak for myself, we're very careful to not criticize. And sometimes I may feel a desire to criticize, but I remember, not a good idea, so I try not to criticize. But a really exalted devotee, he actually has no desire at all to criticize. It's gone. Because he sees himself as so, he's so humble, that how can he criticize anyone? He has absolutely no propensity to criticize because of his actual humility. Okay, so we got it. If we're going to preach in spiritual life, we've got to make these distinctions. Who's a devotee? What level are devotees at? Because it's important who we associate with. One of the, I guess, unfortunate things that I often have to, and I'm sure others of us have the same experience. When a new person starts coming to the temple, maybe there's someone coming regularly to the Sunday feast, if they're getting a little bit serious, and we know they're going to start coming maybe during the week to the temple, One of the first things I have to tell them is be very careful who you associate with. You've really got to pick your association. So this distinction is very important. But now we're going to take this whole concept, and just like a pancake, we're going to flip it over to the other side, because Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya was enlightening Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya flips it all over, and there's the famous verse, is Janarchiti Krishna Prem Kuriye Udoy Tanarvaka Kriya Mudra Vigeya Nabujoy. Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami that one who is Vigeya, one who is most educated, one who's most learned, Vijayu Nabujoy, he cannot tell who is actually advanced and who's not advanced. Janat Kriya, Mudra, and Vakya. By Vakya means words. By one's words, Kriya, Vakya, words, Kriya, actions, and Mudra, symptoms. You can't always tell. Now, let's think of some examples. Probably one of the great examples is Daksha. Daksha's pride got in the way. Daksha, by the way, is a very exalted devotee. He's one of the great Prajapatis. But when he entered that great sacrificial arena where so many exalted personalities were there, including Lord Shiva, everyone bowed down to Daksha, but not Lord Shiva. I mean, even socially, Lord Shiva was the father-in-law of Daksha. And of course, he was Lord Shiva, so exalted. But because Lord Shiva did not bow down, Daksha became so bewildered, he started criticizing Lord Shiva. He started saying how Lord Shiva is his company. He hangs out with ghosts and hobgoblins. And he's often seen in crematoriums smearing his body with ashes and wearing garlands of skulls. He doesn't bathe regularly. He doesn't have a proper residence. In fact, he doesn't have a home at all. And he doesn't dress properly. In fact, he doesn't dress at all. He said that my daughter, Sati, she has eyes just like a doe, a young female deer. But Lord Shiva, he has eyes like a monkey. So because of pride, he wasn't able to perceive. Kind of lost his head, you might say. That was a joke. He lost his head. Everyone knows, right? So, well, he got another one, but I guess it wasn't as good looking as his original head. Probably the quintessential example of not getting it right, and that's Gadadhar himself. Now, who's more exalted than Gadadhar? Gadadhar is Radharani. And so this is a wonderful pastime in Chaitanya Lila, where Lord Chaitanya was crying out, Pundarik! Pundarik! Pundarik Vijaniti! Pundarik Vijaniti! Oh, my father! My father, when will you come? My father, when will you come? In great ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya said that anyone who even says the name Pundarik, the whole universe becomes purified just by saying his name. Why was he calling him father? Because Pundarik Vijaniti in Krishna Lila was King Vrishabhanu, was the father of Radharani. So he was calling him father. And actually, nobody knew who he was. Nobody knew who Lord Chaitanya was talking about. Nobody knew who Pundarik Vijaniti was, except for Mukunda. Anyway, feeling the desire of Mahaprabhu. Pundarik Vijayaniti. By the way, Lord Chaitanya also called him Premaniti. He was so exalted and so advanced, he came to Navadvip. Now, when Pundarik came, Mukunda went to Garadhar and said, "Would you like to meet one of the most exalted of all Vaishnavas who is completely full in Krishna Prema?" Garadhar said, "Yes, please, take me, take me. I need this person's association." So, Mukunda and Garadhar went to see. Now, imagine what Garadhar was imagining in his mind. He's thinking he's going to meet this sadhu with practically no worldly possessions at all. But what did Garadhar see when he met Pundarik Vijayaniti? Pundarik Vijayaniti was being carried on a palanquin. And he was seated within that palanquin on a brass bed. This brass bed had three tiers. Three tiers. And Pundarik was lying back on red satin sheets with silk pillows. And within an arm's reach, there was a box, a jewel-studded box, all full of pan and betel nuts and all types of fragrant spices. There were spittoons all around him. And he was wearing a silken embroidered kurta. His hair was very neatly combed with very expensive fancy oils. And he had mirrors. And he would look at himself in the mirror and smile at himself. And he would laugh heartily. He would laugh, laugh, and look at himself and smile. And the more he looked, the more he would smile. He would fix his hair and smile. It's described that the mirrors that he would look into, they were all completely stained with pan and betel. Garadhar was aghast. He couldn't believe why he was taken to see the ultimate sense enjoyer when he was promised he was going to take into scene an exalted Vaishnava full in Krishna Prema. What to do? Mukunda thought, "Oh my gosh, I've got to do something." So, knowing the mood of Garadhar, he decided that he would say a prayer from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that would reveal to Garadhar who Pundarik Vijayaniti actually was. So, he quoted a verse that describes how Putana, this Rakshasi demon Putana, was very fond of drinking the blood of young children. And she had come with the express purpose of killing little baby Krishna. And she smeared upon her breast poison that was so powerful that 1,000 men could be killed by just a drop of this poison. And she put her breast into the mouth of baby Krishna. And Krishna gave her the liberation of being Krishna's mother in Goloka Vrindavan. That's how merciful Krishna was. When Pundarik Vijayaniti heard this verse, cripplations, his hair stood on end, the pores of his body began exuding puddles and puddles of perspiration. His eyes were like the tears were flowing out of his eyes, just like the Ganges River during the monsoon season. Water was just pouring. And he began shaking and thrashing. And his shirt, his silk shirt, he ripped his shirt off. And he started thrashing and breaking up all the pots, breaking the mirrors, breaking the bed. And finally he fell to the ground. And he's thrashing and thrashing. And he's saying, Krishna, Krishna, you are so merciful. You are so merciful to Putana. What about me? What about me? Why can't I get your mercy? 10 men tried to hold him down unsuccessfully. But eventually, he fell completely into trance. When Gadadhar witnessed the true nature of Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he felt as if he'd made it the greatest offense of all, offending such an exalted Vaishnava. So when Pundarik finally came back to external consciousness, Gadadhar thought, the only way I can alleviate myself from such a great offense is to beg Pundarik Vijayanidhi to initiate me as his disciple. And Pundarik, as he came to external consciousness, was completely understood, and he initiated Gadadhar. And anyway, this is just an example of how we don't always get it right. Another thing that jumps out at me in this whole section of the Bhagavatam is the danger of pride and how careful all of us have to be of pride. Because pride is what started the whole episode of churning of the ocean of milk. Because if we can back up a little bit, we can remember back to where Durvas Muni, remember? Durvas Muni had witnessed when Indra was passing along the road on Aravata, his elephant. He offered, Durvas Muni offered a very wonderful garland to Lord, to Indra. Now, by the way, the garland he offered was not like a, you know, one of these, a cheap 20 rupee or 10 rupee garland that you're going to buy in the marketplace. Remember, Durvas Muni was a great mystic. So the flowers, each and every flower in this garland was brought from different places in the heavenly planets and all put together so perfectly. And this was offered with great, great devotion. Why? Because Durvas Muni was actually like an incarnation of Lord Shiva, a great, great Vaishnava. And he offered it with his heart. But because of pride, Indra just took that garland and not accepting, he threw it to Aravata, his elephant, and an elephant, he didn't know the difference. He just dropped it on the ground and trampled it. Therefore, Durvas Muni cursed that Indra would lose all of his opulence. Right? And that's sort of what got us in the position that we are today, at least in this section of the Bhagavatam. Queen Kunti advises, Janmaisvarya Shruti Shubhya Eda Manakvadak Puman Naivarhat Yabihatung Vai Toma Kinshana Gochara, that opulences within this world, Janma means taking high birth, Aishvarya, having great wealth or opulence, Shruti, great education, and Shribir, beautiful physical form, that these things, Eda Manak Madak Puman, mother means mad, they make one crazy. So I want to read what, do I have that here? Yes. I want to read what Prabhupada said right at the section where the curse, where Indra got cursed, got pride, and opulence. Prabhupada says in his purport, to be extremely opulent in materialistic advancement is sometimes risky. The materially opulent person does not care about anyone, and thus he commits offenses to great personalities, such as devotees and great saints. This is the way of material opulence. As described by Sukadeva Goswami, dana, dharma, danda. Too much wealth makes one blind. This happens to even Indra in his heavenly kingdom, and what to speak of others. So, Krishna, well, we're reading this section about how Mohini Murti was sort of giving the opulences back to the demigods, but Krishna actually takes a little bit of a different position. There's the famous question that was asked by King Parikit to Sukadeva Goswami. He asked, why is it that those who worship Lord Shiva, they live in opulence, but those who worship Lord Krishna, they often live in abject poverty? And the identical question was asked by King Yudhishthira to Krishna himself. This is a famous verse. And Krishna answers back, yasyaham anuganami harasye tadanam shanai tatodanam dajantyasya svajana dukadukitam. Krishna says, when I especially favor someone, when I give my greatest stroke of mercy, I take everything away. Tadanam shanai. And then, tatodanam dajantyasya. Tatomi is what followed. Adanam. Tatodanam. So one, when one is adanam, when one doesn't have his wealth anymore, doesn't have his opulences, tatodanam jajantyasya, he gets rejected, svajana, by his own people. Dukadukitam, and he suffers again and again and again. So being without our opulences, being without all of our prestige, and being in a position where we're recognizing that we are suffering within this world, that is conducive. That's what's necessary for us to advance in spiritual life. We have to recognize that we are in an ocean of material birth and death. Being separate from Krishna in this material world, from the heavenly planets to the hellish planets, everywhere, it's all misery. And therefore, if we can recognize this, then we will know that the greatest blessing is to somehow find that, in this ocean of material existence, find that captain, find that ship that can get us out of this material existence and take us back to the spiritual world. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, early on, when Suta Goswami appears before the sages of Naimisharanya, the sages say, Tramna sandoshito datra dushtram nishtatirshitam kalim satvarhapum sam karnadara ivarnava. They said, we think we've met your grace by the will of providence. This meeting, sandarshito, coming together, datra, providence. Tramna sandoshito datra dushtram nishtatirshitam, those desiring to cross beyond. Because kalim, this age of Kali, kalim sattvahara punsam. It takes away all good qualities. Sattva, sattvaharam. It takes all good qualities away. Therefore, karnadara ivarnavam. We accept you as a captain of our ship. By the way, an interesting aside here. Karnadara. How many people know this verse, by the way, by heart? Tamna sandoshita dratra. Okay, so some of us know the verse. Now, Karnadara, what does Karnadara mean? Because it's captain. But how do we get captain from Karna and Dara? What is Karna? We know the word Karna. Karna's ear. And what's Dara? Dara means to grasp. It's like Haladar, name of Balaran. He holds the plow. Or in Hawaii, there's one nice Mataji, Vishvadarani, one who holds the universes. So, Karnadara. So a devotee had called me, and they were discussing in their temple this verse. And they were trying to figure out Karnadara. How is this indicating the captain? And they were sort of speculating, well, Karnadara, he's got your ear, right? They were thinking the spiritual master, he has your ear. It's like that, those of you who know Shakespeare, there's a famous Julius Caesar play where Mark Antony, he says, friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your ears. I've come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. So anyway, one who has the ear. Sometimes you say something to someone, and you may say, how does that grab you? Right? Grabbing the ear. And then they were also sort of speculating what it could mean. Because sometimes somebody will grab you by the ear and lead you in a particular direction. When I was a little boy, when I was bad, or I was somewhere I shouldn't be, my father would grab me by the ear and move me, take me out of where I shouldn't be to where I should be by the ear. So I was, for some reason, I was really curious about Karnadara, how this is getting to captain. So I called a friend of mine. He was a Sanskrit scholar. He teaches Sanskrit. Oh, my God. Okay, just give me a couple of minutes here, and I'll end it. He's a Sanskrit scholar, and I asked him, Karnadara, how could this be captain? And he said he didn't know, but he would research. So he calls me up about a week later, and he says, Nara, I've got it. He said, I was looking at some very, very old dictionaries, and in one of the dictionaries, it says Karna is mentioned in the Rig Veda to mean rudder. How many people do not know what a rudder is? I'll try to explain. Everybody knows what how many people know what a rudder is? Okay, so you all know. Okay. A rudder is what steers a ship. Now, on old ships especially, the rudder, because the transom, the back of the boat, is straight, but the rudder goes out. It goes way out, it comes way back in, and it's shaped like what? What's that shape? It's shaped like an ear. It's like a great big ear. So Karnadara, one who is holding the helm, one who's steering the boat. This is Karnadara. This is the actual captain. So I should wind it up here. We should all try to fully absorb our mind and our hearts in every possible way through the Srimad Bhagavatam class, through worshiping the deity, completely absorb our minds, our hearts, our souls, our words in Krishna. Because that will actually steal us away from this material world. Just like that beautiful verse by Rupa Goswami, where he says, Smaram bangi triya prachitam sachi vastirna drishtim bangshi nastadra kishnam udram chandrakena govindakyam haritanum itakeshi patopagante ma prekshi says tavyadi sake bandhu sangeshti ranga. Let me just break this down and then we'll end. So he says, begins by saying smaran, smiling. When Krishna smiles, I mean, when anybody smiles, it's beautiful, isn't it? Somebody sent me a YouTube video of animals smiling. Now, is a goat a very beautiful animal? But there was a goat smiling. It was the most beautiful thing you'd ever want to see. Camel smiling? What about a rat? This had a rat smiling. The rat was adorable. So, I mean, if anybody smiles, what to speak of when Krishna smiles? To see Krishna smile. Smaran bangi triaprachitam. So now Krishna's getting ready for this amazing performance where he's going to play his flute, right? So Smanam Bhangi Triaprachitam. This means that he's now assuming the form, the threefold bending form, which I believe is the neck, the waist, and the knees. Is that correct? Neck, waist, knees. Anyway, so he's assuming the threefold bending form. Smanam Bhangi Triaprachitam. Sachi Vasirna Drishtim. Sachi Vasirna Drishtim means sidelong glances. How powerful is eye contact? I mean, we are very selective about who we make eye contact with, aren't we? I mean, you don't just make eye contact with anyone. And when you make eye contact, it's very brief, correct? I mean, like, an eye contact is a little too long, is weird, right? Because it's too intimate. Now imagine when Krishna makes eye contact. Krishna offers you the sidelong glance, and he's eye contact. It's just, you know, your heart's stolen. So smanam bhangita sachi vasirna drishtim vangshi nyastadara. So he takes his flute, vangshi nyasta in adaram. That means he places his flute to his lips. Vangshi nyastadaram kishalam. And his lips are very, very supple. Okay, now the lighting. In any theatrical performance, or even in any intimate situation, lighting is critical. Lighting, just like in a fancy restaurant, or someone wants to create very a romantic atmosphere, they'll have like candlelight or some particular type of lighting. But Krishna, for this amazing performance, he wants the best light. Therefore, Ujjalam Chandrakena. Krishna summonses the Ujjalam, these very strong Chandrakena, the light of the moon. Who is this person? Who is this amazing person? Govindakyam. His name is Govinda. Govinda Hari Tanum, form of the Lord. Itakeshi Taropakante. And where is he going to play? Where is the performance? It's at the Carnegie Hall of the spiritual world. It's at the bank of the Jamuna at Keshika. Therefore, warning, ma prekshista. Ma means not. No, not. Just like that sage, he's giving various benedictions. He gives a benediction to the butcher. He says, ma jiva ma mara. Don't live, don't die. Right? Ma. Krishna says in Gita, ma shuchaha. Don't worry. I'll protect you from all reaction. So ma prekshista, don't go. Don't come see Radha Madhava. Don't come to this Bhagavatam class. Don't go home and read Prabhupada's books. Because Krishna will steal our hearts away. So then to the contrary, I beg all of us to please dive in. What a perfect opportunity here in Sridhar Mayapur. We have the association of so many great Vaishnavas. Dive into that association. Dive into every aspect of the wonderful deities and everything that this holy dham has to offer. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that yang yang vapi smaram bhavanchate chante kalevaram, whatever state of being we have at the time of death, that state we will attain without fail. If our mind is completely stolen with Krishna, then that will take us back to original home, back to Godhead, back to Goloka Vrindavan. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.